Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 5th of February, and I'm recording at late 10:55 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Now, this is a late broadcast. I was at a wonderful concert of the London Philharmonic Orchestra. You may not want to hear much about that, but Gershwin Piano Concerto in F, Rachmaninoff Symphony No. 2, Yannick Nezet-Séguin, conducting, utterly brilliant, and I recommend their schedules to anyone living in the UK area or visiting London. Okay, now, this being Friday, this is Big Picture Long-Term Outlook for the Various Asset Classes. But I'm going to really have a lengthy discussion here of what's actually going on in the markets. I think just a little bit of review, the very abrupt wake-up call that we had in January indicated that something was wrong. And certainly everybody in February, on the 5th of February, is aware that that remains the case here in terms of world stock markets. But what's wrong and how wrong is it and what are the implications? And the first point I'm making was to say that I felt that we were seeing a what I would describe as a cyclical bear market. Now, the last cyclical bear market, where you look at a chart of the Dow or the S&P 500 index and look at 2011, and the indices fell just over 20%, ranged for quite a while before resuming their recovery. And this one is going to be worse. And there are a number of reasons that are involved in that. One is that valuations were higher. Valuations, with the help of quantitative easing, had been pushing up on a steady basis in many markets. Now, the shakeout, and we're a long way through bear markets, and actually we've completed bear markets in some sectors. I would say that commodities have all but completed bear markets. But we've certainly seen some significant bear markets in a lot of the emerging markets, which are probably not over yet. And Wall Street is arriving late. Wall Street's the last one to conform to what we're seeing here overall. But what are the factors that are actually making this worse? Well, in some respects, it is less of an economic bear market than we have seen in other cycles. But I want to go back to that point that I was making. Valuations were somewhat high, and they are experiencing a reduction phase in valuations. That's very painful if you're living through it. With equity positions, but it also creates good opportunities later on, as you know. What I would avoid in this frightening experience is the psychological temptation to say, oh my God, you know, everything's going to ruin and it'll never recover the way it has in the past and so on. We're not hearing much of that today, but that does occur in sharpish bear markets, and I think this is a sharpish bear market here. So what about other than valuations? Leverage. A lot of leveraged positions, and I think all those ETF funds, they have not actually helped. And as people try to get out of those, well, they helped on the upside, but they don't help on the downside, because you get a lot of people who are heading for the exits at the same time, and they can't all squeeze through at once. And so you get some shakeouts, some general shakeouts, which hit all sectors and cause some sharp reactions that might not actually be justified, probably aren't justified in a number of cases by the actual fundamentals behind the scene. So these are, I would describe these as technicalities that are causing this to happen. And so we had valuations, we had leverage, and then probably the most serious one of all is the selling that we're actually getting from sovereign wealth funds. Now, the sovereign wealth funds don't know something that we don't know. The sovereign wealth funds are selling because their economies are in trouble. And those range from Norway, probably in the least trouble, to all the other oil producers around the globe. And they are all in trouble. So a lot of those countries had very, very significant sovereign wealth funds, have very significant sovereign wealth funds. Saudi Arabia, probably the biggest of all. And they are paring those back. Previously, while oil prices were steady and moving higher for a good many years, we had just one-way traffic of the sovereign wealth funds buying assets all over the world, not just shares, but buying property, obviously buying shares, buying some bonds. Well, now these sovereign wealth funds are disposing of a lot of assets, and that is a big factor here in the marketplace. And what we don't know, or I don't know, I will certainly say, is that how many have already significantly reduced their sovereign wealth funds, and how much selling is there to go? My guess is that the process is underway. I think that's a fairly safe conclusion, but I certainly think that it has further to run in here. And then there are just investors who understandably get nervous and decide to push to the sidelines. So a lot of supply, some of which is new, not least the sovereign wealth funds, is affecting these markets. And that's enough to make this a fairly significant, I still think, cyclical bear market. Differentiating between a cyclical bear market and a secular bear market. 2008 was a secular bear market. And I just don't feel that we have the economic deterioration. A lot of people will disagree with that, perhaps, but this is my view. I'm giving you my view. I don't think that we have the fundamental deterioration rocking the whole financial system that we had back in 2008. I think this is just pure and simple technicalities, such as the sovereign wealth fund sales, lowering valuations quite significantly. A year from now, it'll create some very attractive levels, and no doubt before that. Now, the factor about bear markets is that there's an old saying, the old adage, they take them out one by one and shoot them. And witty, but cruelly true here. And where are we seeing the biggest selling now? Well, it's the tech shares and the momentum plays. And you know that a phenomenon that we've seen over the last year, particularly over the last year, and then narrowing it down, it became very pronounced in the last few months, where we had a few very big autonomies, major U.S. economies, autonomies. The biggest one of all was Apple Computer, but we had a lot of others. So we had Google and Amazon and Starbucks. You know the story. Were rising on a basis of just of momentum. People were buying them because they were performing, and they held on because they were performing, and not a great deal else was. But now these are being clipped quite hard, and I wouldn't jump back in there any too quickly if you're thinking about that. And again, whether you ride out a downward trend in those shares, the old adage began about bear markets: if you're going to panic, panic early. In other words, get out before too much damage has actually occurred. Will those companies recover and go on and do greater things? I think almost certainly that is the case. But they're going to experience more pain, I think, and investors with those positions are going to experience more pain before they see that pickup. Well, is there any good news on there? Well, I would say the whole process of this VIG valuation contraction phase, as I say, to repeat this point, very unpleasant when you actually live through it, very frightening. But then when people have sold what they're going to sell and the dust settles, you've had very attractive valuations, and I don't think the global economy will be in devastating shape by any means, but there'll be plenty of time to talk about all that over the next few weeks and months. Now, other good news: is there anything that's actually performing in here? Yes, there is, and you will have noticed that. excuse me. That commodity shares, metals, industrial metal shares, but particularly oil shares, have rallied quite sharply over the last 3 weeks to a month. Now, the biggest driver there is short covering, and I think that we will see more of that. The short positions in the commodity sector were absolutely enormous. And in terms of some of the mechanized funds and the big hedge funds, where they were long momentum stocks, they were short commodity stocks, which had their own momentum on the downside. Now, commodity shares, you've heard me say on many occasions, and no doubt seen this yourself over numerous cycles, commodity shares, incredibly cyclical, but they do get big performances very late in the cycle because they are ignored for a very long time as being and don't go near it because earnings are going down, prices are going down, dividends are at risk, et cetera, et cetera. Then when the actual momentum leaders are being nailed, and you want to see that, just one indication of all that, just look at the chart of the NASDAQ Composite Index, or look at the biotech sector index, and you get the picture very, very quickly. The commodity shares certainly have the more attractive valuations if you are looking at the companies that really have the potential to survive in here, and most of them will. Certainly most of the bigger ones will. So that's what's been performing, as I say, over the last 3 weeks to a month. The performance will be choppy. Everything will be choppy in here. As we've seen so far this year, I would expect that to be the norm. One of the reasons why those commodity sectors will do better is that we see that oil companies, or oil producers rather, are moving closer to that point where they agree on production cuts. We're getting all the sparring and all the discussions actually taking place, and high-cost producers are being sidelined increasingly, and demand picks up. It's mostly a supply issue, but as I say, supply is now being reduced, but it'll be reduced a whole lot more when the leading producers all agree on a production cutback of somewhere between 5 and 10%. And we're heading in that direction. It's impossible to tell exactly when that's going to occur because they don't know themselves when it's actually going to occur. And most of them don't like each other very much, which doesn't make it easy as to reach a deal. But it's a needs-must situation. In other words, their economies are being devastated by the overproduction at ever lower prices. And so we will get the agreement, and we'll get it this year that's really it's virtually impossible to have any insight on that beyond what I've just mentioned, but watch the news on that subject fairly closely. And you've seen the way the shares have responded here, and the oil prices responded as well, as investors are starting to anticipate that. But the main anticipation that we've been seeing so far has been on the part of bear traders who've been getting squeezed out of some of those positions. But the moves when a bombed out commodity sector does start to pick up can really be quite strong, because not only do you have all the short covering to take place, but then you get the bargain hunting and then the momentum buying as it picks up. I would regard that as a medium term trend rather than a long term trend, but it's going to be the best thing around this year, in my opinion. Okay, and how long will this have to run? That's your guess is as good as mine, I think, on that. But I don't think that we are there yet. But bear markets tend to be far quicker or to unfold far more quickly than bull markets. So I think we're talking about something about possibly several months. We'll get technical rallies. We've seen some technical rallies this week in some sectors, but I think we're going to see lower levels for just about everything except for the resources sectors that I mentioned, particularly metals and oil shares. Okay, well, that's how I see it playing out. And when those valuations, I'm repeating this point, but when those valuations are clearly lower, that will be a very attractive proposition for equity investors. And they should do well. When we start seeing bond yields pushing higher again, that'll be another signal that equities are perhaps being viewed widely as more attractive. Needless to say, while this bear market in equities is going on, that postpones the bearish phase in government bonds, because they're safe haven status has been revived. Well, what happened in here today? Just to run through that for investors who have not been able to watch things closely in here, and just a quick review. In the Asia Pacific area, Japan was down again in here, so a sort of 1 1/3 percent, and we had. Let's see, Hang Seng and China Enterprise, they were a little bit firmer. Mainland shares slightly lower. We had a number of markets that did quite well. India was certainly among them, had some of the best gains. So did Singapore, up 2.5% in here, and Indonesia up 2.85%. And that's well, and say good action overall. Europe's markets mostly lower. There's only one exception that I can see on my main screen, and that's Spain, which was up a third of a percentage point. Biggest decline looks like Italy, down 2.13%. Germany, soft as well. I've been interested in Germany. It hasn't done me any favors, and I think the main reason why this is out of favor at the moment is because of the Chinese economy. And Germany is a big exporter of goods to China, and there are obviously real concerns in the market about how much they're going to be able to export. I think it's being overdone, but in bear markets, pretty well everything is overdone, just as in a good bull market, pretty well everything is overdone to the upside. Wall Street, Dow down over 1.25%. The S&P not that far off being, down 1.85%. NASDAQ Composite, though, 3.25%. As I say, they drag them out and shoot them one by one, and the valuations there were, scary. Say pure momentum plays. I think many of those, though, I'm going to repeat this point, there's some, in terms of those big autonomies, wonderful companies. If they get knocked back by 20, 30, 40, 50%, they will be creating outstanding buying opportunities. Okay, what else happened in here today? I mentioned the, or did I mention it? No, I didn't. Government bonds, U.S. 10-year, 1.83. And that indicates how low confidence is generally. So that's just choosing these bonds as a bolt hole. The VIX index pushed up 1.5 points here today to 23.38. And among currencies, now the dollar index had a decent rally here today. Finally, it got down to a low of 96.31. But remember, it had those two big hits on Wednesday and Thursday, really big hits. End of the day, it's end of the week, it's at 90, just over 97. Just over 97. I think there's only one really important factor here to focus on. Here, we do not want to see that dollar index breaking up above that 100 level. I've said that for weeks and weeks, and it certainly remains the case. It would compound all the problems that we have been seeing here recently by weakening the U.S. economy and by also causing havoc among corporations and also emerging markets, which are overborrowed in dollars at or overborrowed in dollars at lower levels. Now, looking at some of these currencies in here today, the euro 1.1158, sterling 1.45. Here, sterling's really just going to track the euro and quite possibly stay a bit below it. George Osborne, the Chancellor, will be very happy to see a soft sterling generally in here. Certainly, there's no inflation problem at this stage. We're not talking about a big collapse, but he'd like to see it a bit soft against the euro generally. And the euro is an important reserve currency, which helps to steady it more than might otherwise be the case. Also, the Brexit debate and approaching election and so on, that will create more uncertainty, which also is likely to weigh on sterling somewhat. Now, among currencies, I think those are the Australian dollar weakened in here today. Now, commodities, again, the most interesting sector in here. Precious metals had another good day. Palladium up nearly $6, 504.5. Silver, another good day in here, up 25 cents to 15.03. So that's following through on the upside, following an upside breakout of a nice little saucer type pattern. If you look at a daily chart of silver, you can see that particularly clearly. And I think that might have pushed above its 200-day MA on the weekly. Check that out yourself if you're interested in it. I'm not sure that's the case, but it was not far off it. Platinum up $9.50 to $9.13.20. And gold bullion up $18 to $1,173, nearly $1,174 here overall. Lumber firmer. Industrial metals not quite so good today. Copper, I notice, is down 2.85 cents. I'm in here to 210, and soft commodities, well, mixed. White sugar a little firmer, coffee weaker, grains and beans mostly a little weaker in here. Expect choppy markets. We have nervous conditions. There are liquidity concerns. I think just about everything is going to be choppy. But I would not think of this in terms of some sort of massive economic disaster. 2008 was. This is not. But I mentioned all those technicalities, not least leverage, higher valuations that we had seen previously, sovereign wealth funds, etc. Okay, I don't want to repeat all those points. So at this stage, I'll say all the best to all of you. Have a terrific weekend. There'll be some good sporting events on for sure. All the best.